You excited for the World Series tonight, Andy Hart? Ready? You ready for some baseball? You ready for some Dodgers-Yankees? You ready for the two big media markets? Slapping the old baseball around the yard there? You excited?
You worried me there. I didn't know where that sentence was going to go when you seemed to...
Good save, Arcan.
Thank you. You seemed unsure, too.
I was trying to remember what baseballs are made out of. What are they made out of? What's a baseball? What's the actual material?
There's a core in the leather.
It's leather? Horsehide?
Yeah, leather.
Yeah, I guess that's it.
On the outside. And then on the inside, it's a bunch of string wound
really
tight.
Twine, right? Or something
round
stupid
wheelie.
Like that? Yeah, whatever.
And then there's a little ball in the middle. Mm-hmm. You cut it open.
And there's no, I don't know, I guess there's no like funny slang for that. Anyway.
Yeah, it's just core, yarn, a cover, and 108 stitches.
And a bunch of stitches, yeah, okay.
Yeah, and I'm not looking for slap hits. So, no, I wouldn't use the word slap. I'm watching Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge and Mookie Betts. I'm looking and Giancarlo Stanton to hit the ball far and hard. Now, I am excited. This is the stage. This is an answer to how many years did we hear it's such a shame that Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout are on the Angels and never get to share the biggest stage
right.
And the passion and the postseason. Well, Ohtani has not only shared the stage, he is the centerpiece. He is the lead singer in this performance. And no, I am actually looking forward to it. What time's first pitch? Because that can decide how much I look forward to.
I believe 8 o'clock. Yeah, 8:08 is a
okay. 8:08, good. Remember the old days when it was like 8:46 or something, mm-hmm. and you'd get those really no modern baseball 8:08. I am absolutely so. When I get home from Friday Night Lights, Miller Lite, and a little World Series baseball will be on tap.
Pretty exciting. Buster only tweeted this today. There are 5 former MVPs in the World Series rosters of these teams. You just mentioned most of them: Giancarlo Stanton, Aaron Judge, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, and Shohei Ohtani. If all 5 play in the game, which is expected, they're all going to play in all the games, I think, that would be the most former MVPs playing in one World Series in the history of the major leagues. The previous high was 4, done 9 times, most recently 1971, Jeez. Orioles, Pirates, Boog Powell, Brooks Robinson, Frank Robinson, and Roberto Clemente. That's surprising, you know? Like, I saw that, I was like, that's interesting. But if you think about it, like, yeah, a lot of the... Mike Trout was the MVP how many years in a row? Did he ever play in a playoff game? Like, a lot of these guys, these MVPs, you know, they're on these small market teams. They don't ever get to the play. This is exactly what baseball needed. This type of series is exactly what baseball needed to showcase its stars. And that's been an issue for this sport for really since the steroid era ended, I think. I mean, they've had a crisis of how to promote and how to market these guys without, you know, going over the top about how big and ripped they are, which was all they did during the steroid era, and it was great, by the way. But that's, you know, that's it, and they don't really know what to do now, and this is it. You got 2 star-studded teams here. You got MVPs all up and down the rosters, high prices, high payrolls, what baseball should be. And it's going to be on display. And I think that this is 2 good fan bases, too. And the Dodgers didn't always used to be. And I think that that's really, really useful for a sport that's having trouble promoting itself. Here it is. It's been hand-delivered to you. Last year, it was the Rangers and the Diamondbacks. Who do you think they'd rather have? Yankees, Dodgers, or that thing last year that nobody watched? This is going to be appointment television, I think, especially if it's a 7-game series between these two teams. If it's close, tense games, oh, yeah. People are absolutely going to be into this.
And I know we have a certain perspective on this because we are a big market sports town.
Right.
But there's 5 of them. 4 of them were acquired. 1 of them is homegrown. Aaron Judge, right? Aaron Judge is a Yankee, although he almost left. He was one, right? He was going to the Giants or whatever, and that was a done deal.
Yeah, but I don't know if that was
they
ever
untweeted.
A real thing. Right.
But the rest of them were acquired. Mm-hmm. So it's made quite clear. Acquisitions, usually Chut and Ching putting some money together and going to get a guy, sometimes in a trade because you're willing to accept a contract, whatever it may be. This is an example of money works still in Major League Baseball. I don't want to hear all the, oh, you spend, it never works out. You got to build from the front. Nope. There's MVPs on full display. They were acquired by the teams. They were not their original teams. The teams paid them boatloads of money, and they're in the World Series. It's simple science, right? The science is before us. Spend some money, be aggressive, go get marquee talent, and you might have a really good chance to go to and win a World Series because one of these two teams has bought themselves a World Series title.
Yep.
One of them has to win. It's guaranteed that one of them is going to win. So from our perspective, I'm not saying you should maybe feel that way if you're in Kansas City. You might actually hate that and say, oh, great, I got to go watch a World Series where both teams acquired all this MVP talent, right? That's not my kind of baseball. We're not in that world. But we're in Boston. I don't care what you think in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Screw off.
And you know what? A lot of this talent got acquired from you in Boston. Or that's Atlanta, sad. Another big market there, which is where Freddie Freeman came from. I mean, these are not... It wasn't all the plucking guys from the Florida Marlins or, you know, these dead-end small-market teams like the Red Sox gave him Mookie Betts. The Braves gave him Freddie Freeman. Like, that's, you know...
The Angels. Shohei Ohtani was on the Angels. That's not a small-market team.
It's not a small-market team. They were kind of a second-tier team, I would say.
But they can spend.
But they did. Yeah, they can. And they didn't. So there you go. All right, let's get to our... Oh, do you want to do this right now, the Pillar Power Rankings?
Sure.
All right,
I'm excited about this. And
right
you've
here.
Mastered this saying it. You struggled early on with the pillar power rankings.
I did.
Maybe dropping the Patriots P. Maybe that was one too many P for you. One less P and you're good to go with the pillar power rankings. But yeah. I enjoy this. I enjoy these
That's
pillar
power
rankings.
What my doctor said too. All right, well, let's get to them. Pillar power rankings today for the Boston Red Sox. Now, how are we gonna structure this, Andy?
Okay, so the pillar power rankings from my perspective, and you can correct me if you feel otherwise, are we still have ownership.
Mm-hmm.
We still have manager, don't call him Skip. He's not a coach. He's a manager. We still have executive level with GM Breslow. And then I broke instead of in football, we had roster and quarterback.
Sure.
Here, I think we go with lineup and pitching.
As two separate ones?
Yes.
Okay.
So those are the pillars of what I think is building a World Series contending baseball team that maybe someday, hey, as early as next year, could be the Red Sox in the World Series. We could be talking about them and a 808 first pitch. So you want to go first? Or you want me to go first?
Sure. Are we starting from the bottom or the top?
Go from the bottom. So the least impressive or least confident aspect of the team, and we'll work our way up to the best part of the team.
Bottom for me is ownership. Down at the bottom, they are number six on this list. Number five, excuse me. They could be six if I could make them six, but there's only five options here. They're number five with a bullet. I feel like ownership completely neglects this team, has no real interest in their day-to-day wins and losses. I don't think they really care about anything except making sure it's a nice line item on their portfolio, and I think that the results have sort of reflected that. I have them down at the bottom by a lot.
I do, too. To me, that's a layup. Now, this is weird. It's a little bit like Kraft being questioned now. This is a team. We celebrated the 20-year anniversary of those 2004 Sox, and they've won multiple times since then. And yet, they're at the bottom of our pillar power rankings. That's weird.
Yeah, I mean, it's true.
It's
this is where they are right now. And if we were asking me this question 10 years ago or even 5 years ago, I probably wouldn't have them this low. But this
and
is,
they
this
can
is
get
where
out of
they
it
are.
Easy.
And they deserve to be there.
All they got to do is get one of those old-fashioned things called a checkbook, open it up, get a pen, write some Juan Soto $600 million, and you'll move up my pillar power rankings. Very simple.
Very good. All right. So for number four, then ownership is off the schneid there. I'm going to go with the pitching staff at number four. I think I'm not a big fan of this pitching staff. I do think you have some guys here that you like, but you don't have an ace. You don't have a closer. I don't really feel great about the bullpen, period. Sorry, Tanner Houck back there. He's not a terrible ace, but he's not someone that I look at and think, yeah, this guy's going to take you to the promised land. I feel like they've neglected the pitching staff, and it's not necessarily the pitching staff's fault. Like, I don't think Cutter Crawford stinks or that, these guys are all bad pitchers, but I just don't feel great about what a team with this type of resources has amassed here. I feel like they've mostly let it go, and Giolito being injured right away, I didn't feel good about Giolito coming here in the first place either. So, yeah, the pitching staff, I think, is their on-field, anyway, their biggest weakness. So I'd put them at number four.
So I find that surprising. I do not have pitching at number four. I have number four being Craig Breslow / the executives, because as much as I want to believe we're about to embark on an old-school Red Sox hot stove talk off-season, I have to see it. And even if they do, he needs to do it right. Because Craig Breslow supposedly was a buyer at the trade deadline, and he bought nothing but like day-old baked goods that got moldy as soon as I tried to use them. He did not do a good job buying there. So Craig Breslow needs to prove to me. I almost thought about putting him last because he doesn't have a track record to run on. Like, at least John Henry can say, well, I used to spend money, and I used to bring titles to Boston, and I used to do good business. So I got Craig Breslow at number four because he can move way up. He could move up. Within a month or two, I could have him much higher on this list. But for now, Craig Breslow, baseball operations, you're fourth.
Okay. I have third. I was going to go with executive there, but I'm going to go with the manager there. Because it's the opposite of what you just
said.
It's going to be the opposite of what you just said. And this is, I know, pushing Breslow up maybe higher than he deserves to be, but
yes,
he doesn't have the track record. Alex Cora does. Alex Cora's track record in the second half of the season these last couple of years has been dreadful. And that's not something I'm just going to look the other way on because he signed an extension and because we interview him every week and because I like the guy. I mean, this is a pattern now that you're seeing year in and year out. And it's not a pattern that I can ascribe to Craig Breslow in that same way. But they fired Dave Dombrowski and this whole same thing. It's hard to work in those settings. And I think Breslow did okay with the roster that he put out there to start the year. But eventually, you know, it comes down to the same stupid problem that you keep on having, which is an ownership thing. But with the manager, this manager's been there. He's been a common theme between all of these collapses in the second half. And I feel like this is an appropriate place for him. So I have him third.
Wow, you're not going to like my list, but my third on the Pillar Power Rankings is the lineup. I think it is too left-handed, too dominant to one side. I think it was poorly constructed in that way. I think there are questions about what it's going to look like moving forward when you try to fix that. I think there are questions, yet again, every time they get a nice power hitter to add to the complimentary bat, he's gone.
It's true.
And I feel like that's going to happen again with Tyler O'Neill. You're going to watch another guy that you kind of liked and you kind of grew attached to.
And who has a perfect swing for Fenway and has right. like big numbers for 1 year. Yeah, exactly.
And
Hunter Renfro
like
is just same
yeah,
thing.
Hunter Renfro
all over again.
I feel like he's not going to be here, so I can't even get attached to him. The big bopper in the lineup, Devers, I know he was hurt. And he got stuck on whatever it was, 28 home runs. He was going to have like a career year, and then he didn't because he never hit another home run.
Right.
And the shoulder and the whole thing. But I've always kind of not loved him being the centerpiece of your lineup. I don't think you get full return on that $300 million investment in Rafi Devers, and I want to see where that goes. So I have questions about this lineup as it's currently constituted, but also questions about it. What it's going to look like when they reconfigure it and try to fix it and make it better and take out a Tyler O'Neill and get less left-handed and do all those things. And Tristan Casas, he might not be the second coming of Ted Williams like everybody told me he was going to be last spring. That's another aspect of this. In fact, he may even be traded away as you try to figure some things out. So I think the lineup has a lot of questions in my three spot.
Okay, fair enough. I just gave you the reasons why I have the executive up at number two. So that's who my two is, Craig Breslow. I'm not super impressed with him yet, but I have him a little bit higher than those guys just because he has a little bit more time here to prove that he's worth something and doesn't have a bad track record. So it's not a high bar to clear. But that gets you up to number two. Who's your number two?
So my number two is the pitching staff. I got to give them credit for all the guys that made the 30 starts last year. And the lineup and the pitching staff to me were kind of 2-3 in some order. I went with this order because I think I don't think there's a lot of baseball teams that can just roll out of bed and throw three or four guys out there 25-plus times, 30-plus times. They were able to do that. I'm hoping Brian Baio is going to turn a corner and become more so that we're debating, hey, who's better, Hauk or Baio? And then when you add a pitcher atop the rotation, I think you can say, wow, these guys look even better when you put them all down, one domino, one slot in the lineup. So I went with pitching number two. So you know what that leaves me with at number one?
Manager at number one for you, lineup at number one for me. I think the lineup's the only thing that's really got me at all excited about this next year.
They fell apart down the stretch.
I know, but I still think they have guys coming up in the minors. I like their young talent. I like Jaron Duran. I think that Kazas, if he stays, is going to develop and continue to be a good power hitter. They do need to get more right-handed. That's true, but I like their lineup. I think it's a good lineup.
Well, and you're also, I didn't do what you did. If I included the Woo Sox lineup, I would have probably put the lineup a little higher.
Okay, fair enough.
But I didn't do that quite yet because I don't know which of those guys is going to be in the lineup. Is it Campbell? Is Mayer going to be there? I think there's some question as to how that plays out, who gets traded away, who wins jobs out of spring training. Yeah, my top of the list is, he's a manager with a World Series ring. I think he gets the most out of his teams more often than he gets the least out of them. Your argument about the end of the year is fair. He acknowledged that with us. He acknowledges that concern. But I tend to believe some of that is about poorly built baseball teams that don't have high-end talent, that don't have the horses to ride into August and September. And when you're piecing it together with duct tape and WD-40 all year long, which I think he has to do more years than he doesn't, I think that's a really hard job to do. I think if you give Alex Cora talent, the talent that some of these other managers have that we may be watching tonight at 8:08,
mm-hmm.
I think Alex Cora is a World Series caliber manager. He's got the ring. He has a little bit of a track record. I know there's some skeletons in the closet as well, and whatever that may be. But Alex Cora, I go with, if they all do their job as well as he does his job, this team will be in World Series contention.
All right, there you go. Those are our pillar power rankings. We're way over, so we're going to take a break. When we come back, we will reset on the Bruins. And what a dreadful start they're off to. We'll get to that with your phone calls right after this.